heaven has come. Tonight, you can be seated, but turn your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter number 35, is where we'll be reading our scripture from. Last night, be honest with you, and this is a place that no preacher likes to be in, is having more than one message on your mind or heart to preach. And I told my wife, as it got later yesterday afternoon, I said, I'm really struggling between two messages. And she went out, and I prayed a little bit. She come back, I guess, probably 30, 40 minutes later. I said, well, I've got it narrowed down to four now. And then last night, about 2 minutes before I got to the platform, something was put on my heart. And I preached that I wasn't even prepared to preach last night. But tonight, I'm settled and confident that we should be in Genesis chapter 35. And I want to look in the scripture this evening in verses 1 through 6. Well, I'll read and do ask you to keep your Bible open throughout the course of the message tonight, because we'll be looking right in these verses of scripture and bringing the thoughts that God would have us to bring for the service this evening. So Genesis chapter 35, verse number 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Verse number 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and all the people that were with him. I want you to look tonight in verse number 1. The Bible said, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Tonight, I want to preach on the thought, back to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Here in the passage that we've read tonight, God has appeared to Jacob. And he's given Jacob a command that he is to arise and go up to Bethel. This trip to Bethel would be a return trip for Jacob. Jacob knew exactly what God was talking about when he said, Jacob, I want you to go to Bethel. Jacob had been at Bethel many years earlier in his life. It was a place that he had visited before. It was a place that he was familiar with, that he was well acquainted with. And here now God is saying, Jacob, I want you to rise up. He's been gone from Bethel now for many years. And God has come to Jacob after many years of being departed from this place called Bethel. And God says, Jacob, it's time now for you to get back to Bethel. Amen. And I want to preach on that thought tonight, back to Bethel. Without a doubt, this is the need of the church in this hour which we live. No doubt the greatest need for the church of this day and this hour in which we live is for the church to get back to this place that I'm going to preach about tonight, this place that we'll call Bethel. This is without a doubt the need for the church at large, the church as a whole, the body of Christ, whatever you may want to call it tonight, it matters not. But the church of the Lord has drifted away from Bethel. And there's a need tonight for this church to get back to this place. The need for the Island Ford Baptist Church tonight, without a doubt, is the need to get back to Bethel. the need of the Lakeview Baptist Church, where I pastor, down in Lakeview, Georgia, is the need to get back to Bethel. Those that are listening by the way of the radio tonight, and others that may be visiting here in this place tonight that are from other churches, without a doubt, the need of those churches is the need to get back to Bethel.
Amen.
We find that Jacob's whole family got back to Bethel, but it started with one person, Jacob.
Right.
And though the church as a whole and the church as a local church here tonight and scattered out throughout the land, there's a need for individual Christians. No doubt some here tonight will hear the call from God to rise up and get back to Bethel.
Amen.
This place, Bethel, was a place of great spiritual significance in the life of Jacob. It was at this place called Bethel that Jacob had his first encounter with God.
Right.
It was at Bethel that Jacob first met the Lord. You see, before Bethel, the only thing that Jacob knew about God is he's the God of Abraham.
Yep.
He's the God of his father Isaac. He had never had a personal encounter. Abraham had met with God face to face. Isaac had had personal encounter with God, but not Jacob, not before Bethel.
Yep.
All he's known is the God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac. But he had never had a personal encounter with God himself until at Bethel. And it was there at Bethel that Jacob first met the Lord. Dear friend, there's nobody here tonight that's going to go to heaven riding on the coattail spiritually of an Abraham or an Isaac. I'll start the message tonight saying there's some here under the sound of my voice. You don't need to get back to Bethel. You need to get there the first time. You need to have a personal encounter with God. There's some young people here tonight that all you know about God is He's the God of your father. All you know about God is He's the God of your mother. Maybe the God of a grandfather, as was Abraham to Jacob. But you've never had, are you listening? You have never had a personal encounter with God yourself. Oh, mama's met God. Daddy's met God. But you personally have never had a meeting with God. You've never been to Bethel for the first time. Oh, that God would speak to you tonight and say, arise. It's time for you to get to Bethel. It's time for you to know God yourself. Because you're not going to make it to heaven on the meeting that mama had with God many years ago. Or the meeting that daddy's had as well. But then there are those sitting here tonight, you know what it is to be at Bethel. You've met with God perhaps years ago, and God would speak to us tonight that have been to Bethel, that have met God, that God would speak to us tonight and say it's time for you to get back to Bethel. I think about in the book of Revelation, in that first church, the church of Ephesus, was a church that had already left Bethel.
That's right.
God commended the church of Ephesus of many things. They were workers. They were laborers. They were sound in doctrine.
Right.
They even despised those that were evil.
Yep.
But yet God said to the church of Ephesus, I've got one thing against you.
Yes, brother.
He said, you have left your first love.
That's right.
You've left that place called Bethel. There early in the history of the church, it's amazing, Paul made the statement there in Galatians. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that had called you. And it's amazing as you look at that very first church period of the church of Ephesus and how soon they had moved away from that first love. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about getting back to Bethel, getting back to that place of that first meeting of God, getting back to that place of that first love for the Lord.
Yes.
I'll tell you something tonight. The church is a long way away from Bethel. You think about that early church of the book of Acts. That was the church at Bethel. That was that church when they had first met the Lord. Amen. That was that church of Bethel where they had first met God and God had established and God had built. But look how far we are away from Bethel.
That's right.
You think about the church in the book of Acts and you think about the power that they had. We need to get back to Bethel, friend.
Yes, sir, we do.
You think about the preaching in the book of Acts as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and men were pricked in their heart and 3,000 were saved in one sermon. Friend, we're a long way from Bethel tonight.
Yeah.
You think about the personal witnessing that took place in that early church at Bethel where the Bible said they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word and these that had turned the world upside down, they said, have come hither also. They testified publicly and house to house, witnessing, warning all men everywhere, repent toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they were witnessing, personal witnessing church. But how many today in the churches do much witnessing at all? Think about the purity, how they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's what they taught. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And those early apostles taught them everything that Jesus said, and they continued steadfast. In churches today, preachers teach and they preach and they preach and they teach the things that Jesus commanded. But how many are continuing in those things? We're hearers and not doers in the church today. I'm telling you, brother, when they preached and taught what Jesus said in the early church, the disciples said, amen. That's what Jesus said. That's how we want to live. That's what we want to do. But we leave the churches today in most congregations say, well, that's just what the preacher said. We're so far away from Bethel in this day. Think about the praising that went on in the early church. Boy, they didn't mind praising God, did they? Boy, they'd rejoice and shout. These continued in the temple daily rejoicing and praising God. They'd rejoice and they'd shout and they'd worship God. They'd have a time and they'd have a spell. But I'm telling you, in the average church that we're in today, there is no rejoicing. There is no praising. There's no real worshiping going on. We're a long way from Bethel, friend, a long way. I'm talking about that early church. How many churches today do we know that really resemble the church at Bethel? That early church that had first met God in the book of Acts. We need to get back to Bethel tonight. Jacob, he said, arise, it's time. And I will say tonight, that's the only hope. I thank God the preachers mentioned about things that are going on in the world. We're in perilous times. No doubt Jesus has got to come soon. But I tell you, the answer is not in the American military. It's not in our elections that are coming up. It's not in those that we're going to govern our country. But I tell you, the only hope for this world and for this country that we're living in is the church of the living God has got to get back to Bethel.
The
Bible said the terror of God was upon those. Boy, you read about the church in the book of Acts and great fear fell on them. Boy, they feared the church. They feared the men of God. They had a holy and reverential fear for God's people. But where is that today? The men of God are mocked. The church is laughed at. Christians are scorned on every hand. There's no fear of God. There's no power of God. You can believe what you want to believe about miracles and signs and wonders and things of that nature. And I'm by no means a charismatic or of the Pentecostal sway tonight. But I believe, friend, there's still a power of God. There's still a miracle working God. There's still a hand of God that we're not experiencing in this day. Because we are away from Bethel. I preached last night about God being able to heal and God being able to touch. Friend, that was a regular thing at the church in Bethel. But now if we hear about somebody getting healed, we hear about somebody getting touched miraculously, that's a strange thing in our ears today. That's only because we are away from Bethel.
Yes, sir.
And it's time tonight that the church would hear the call from God. Rise up. Get back to Bethel.
Amen.
There are four things that I want you to see in the life of Jacob that Jacob had to get back to in order to get back to Bethel. And I want to show you these four things tonight that will be imperative. If we as a church are going to get back to Bethel, If the Island Ford Baptist Church is going to get back to Bethel, if you as an individual Christian listening tonight are going to get back to Bethel, you'll have to get back to these things in your life. Number one, simple as it may be, getting back to the house of God, amen. This word Bethel means the house of God. And at Jacob's first encounter there at Bethel, at first it was called Luz, which meant a perverted place. But he took that perverted place and turned it to Bethel, which means the house of God. And Jacob woke up and he said, oh, I didn't realize it, but this is the house of God. This is Bethel. It's time that the church got back to the realization, this is the house of God. Amen. It's not the preacher's house. This is not the members of Island Ford Baptist Church's house. This is the house of the living God. You say, preacher, no, our body's the house. Well, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. But Paul said to Timothy that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the church, which is the house of the living God. This is not just a building tonight. When we stepped into this place, there ought to be an awesome awareness. We have stepped in to the house of the living God, where our God has chosen to meet with His people. We're going to have to get back like the early church in Acts. You know, the Bible said they had such an emphasis and importance on the church and the assembling of God's people. The Bible said that they ceased not in the temple daily. Now for them, that was the house of God. And then it moved from there to houses. So he said they ceased not daily in the temple and from house to preach and teach Jesus. Yes, son, they had church every day. I mean, this was the center of their lives. And that Old Testament tabernacle originally, when God instituted the setting up of that tabernacle, you know where He instructed them to put it at? He said, you put it right in the middle of the camp and you have all the people camp around about it. You know what God was teaching them? Same thing He wants to teach us tonight. That their life and everything was to revolve around God's house, the place of the worship of God, and everything was to be centered around that. We've gotten away from the house of God in the churches today. Most people have their little reverence and awe when they step into church that they're in the house of God. We've lost respect for the man of God. That's God's man. That's not just so-and-so. That's the man of God. That's the word of God. This is the house of God. These are the songs of God. And we're here to meet and worship with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks, they have gotten away from the house of God. It doesn't mean what it used to mean to them. It doesn't mean what it used to mean to the early church. They can take it or leave it. They may come Sunday morning, but no longer Sunday school. Or they don't come back Sunday night. They dropped off Wednesday night. Things have taken a priority. Their life is no longer centered around the house of God, but they make the house of God center around everything else. I'll tell you something, me and my family, we fit everything else into God's house.
Right.
Not fitting God's house around everything else. Amen.
Right. Amen.
We're going to have to get back to the house of God. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is.
Amen.
I wonder if some here tonight is. You got a little careless in your church attendance. I know a man's got to work, provide for his family, but you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll have to make a choice, Jesus said. People say, oh, you preacher, you're so mean. You know, men's got to work, they got to provide for the family. I believe that with all of my heart. But I believe God will give you a job where you can still put Him first and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I don't just mean on Sunday, I mean on Wednesday night. I'm telling you here tonight, you at one time used to be faithful to God's house, but now you've let things come in. You've let things take a priority, and we've accepted it in this day. Preachers have just kind of sat back and said, well, you know, they've got to work. No, they don't have to work there. Listen, you can pray and seek God. You may have to take a cut in your pay, but I'm telling the old time Christians in the book of Acts, they sacrificed more than what we'll ever realize. You may have to sacrifice a few dollars an hour, but if the church is going to get back to Bethel, we're going to have to get back to God's house, friend. Number two, we'd have to get back to the Bible. The Bible said in Genesis 35 verse number 1, and God said unto Jacob. That's the word of God, friend. Amen.
Amen.
Jacob heard God speak back at Bethel, but I'm telling you, it's been a long time now since Jacob's heard God speak to him like this. And here we have God speaking to Jacob. God said to Jacob, thank God we've got a Bible where God can speak to us in this day and in this hour. But so many like Jacob, it's become something very foreign to hear God speak from His Word. Boy, that early church in the book of Acts, the Bible said that those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Hey, they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scripture, what? Daily. Whether those things were so. Now, Jesus has done command to search the Scriptures. You said, how often should I search them? Daily.
Right.
If you're going to be a more noble Christian, the Bible said they search the Scriptures daily. Didn't say they read it daily,
right.
Said they searched it, amen.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yes,
if you're searching for something, you're looking for it, amen.
Yeah.
That means you're looking for it hard. And I'm talking about getting back to that place where we're not just reading our Bible, but we've opened the Word of God. And friend, we're searching for something. We're hungry for something. We're looking. We're not just trying to fulfill a schedule. We're not trying to fulfill a quota and say that we've read so many verses today. But we are searching. We're looking. We're hungry. He said his newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Oh, my friend, as a little baby, there's a desire for the meal to be fed with the milk from its mother. I mean, not just once, not just twice, but even during the wee hours of the night, the little baby will wake up the mama and wants to eat, wants to feed often on the meal. Can you remember back when you were at Bethel, back to the place where you first met God, a newborn babe in Christ? Oh, you couldn't get enough of the Word of God. You had a sincere desire in your heart to feed. Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There'll be no spiritual life for the Christian. There'll be no spiritual life for the church outside of the feeding on God's Word. Dear friend, you're going to have to get back to the Bible. Have you become careless in your Bible reading? Hey, I wonder tonight, and I wouldn't do it, but I wonder tonight, if we were to have Stan, how many people have even read a chapter of your Bible today, how many would be embarrassed here tonight? Would be amazed, dear friend, at the time. You said, preacher, we're just so busy we can't read it. But can spend several hours watching television. Several hours surfing the internet. Several hours on things that if not detrimental in themselves, at least no beneficial aspect spiritually. The early church prized God's Word and searched the Scriptures daily and fed on God's Word. But we've got multitudes in churches in America tonight. Some here, no doubt. You say you've been saved 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 years and you've never even read the Bible through one time. We're going to have to get back to the Bible, friend.
Amen.
Back to God's Word if we're going to get back to Bethel.
Amen.
Number three, if we're going to get back to Bethel, we'll have to get back to prayer.
Yes.
The Bible said in Genesis 35, God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God. The altar is a place of prayer. God said, Jacob, I want you to get back to Bethel. When you get back to Bethel, there's going to be some altar building there. The altar is a place of prayer. The early church was a people that were praying people.
Amen.
The Bible said that Jesus told them, he said, now listen, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. And he said, I want you to tarry there until you're endued with power from on high. And they knew what that word tarry meant. No doubt their minds ran back to the book of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When Jesus said tarry, they knew exactly what that meant. That meant to get with God, get along with God, tarry with God, wait on God, spend time in prayer until God has poured out His Holy Spirit and you've been renewed with a power from up on high. And so they did. They went back to Jerusalem and these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Amen. The women need to get in on it too. Amen. And they continued in prayer, crying out to God, waiting on God until the day of Pentecost had fully come. And there's a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We need to hear a sound from heaven tonight. I'll be the first to admit, it's not a sound from this pulpit we need to hear. It's a sound from heaven, friend. And they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were praying people. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4, after they had prayed again, the place was shaken. That's what we need, this place to get shook up tonight. Amen. Hey, the place was shaken where they were assembled. And they're filled with the Holy Ghost. But it come by prayer. Amen. Old Peter got put in prison. It looked like it was the end of him. But thank God for an early church at Bethel that knew how to pray. And the Bible said that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And in the middle of the night, God worked a miracle and sent an angel down there, loosed his chains and opened the gate. And Peter stood knocking at the door. Amen. Boy, they was a praying people. But the church has gotten away from Bethel tonight. And I believe that this is no doubt one of the areas that we have gotten the farthest away from Bethel. It's in this place of prayer. I said a while ago, and I don't mean to sound redundant, but if we were to have a show of hands tonight of people that have spent an hour today in prayer, we'd probably lose our breath and say, my. And yet we wonder why there's no shaking at God's house. We wonder why there's no sound from heaven when we come to church. We say, you know, the preacher preaches and he preaches and he preaches, but we're not hearing any sound from heaven. Are you praying, friend, for him? Did Jesus not say, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He is amazed at the disciples that they couldn't spend an hour in prayer for the need at hand. Right. Most people in our churches today would be totally confounded if you told them, listen, I want you to come, we're going to pray for an hour together. We are so far away. But yet, James said it is still the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. The reason we're fainting today, and so many of our church members are fainting spiritually today, we have gotten away from Bethel. We've gotten away from the place of prayer by God's people. We got to get back there, church. Listen. Where's the men here tonight that are going to become men of prayer? Where are the women here tonight? They're going to rise up and say, I'm going to get back to Bethel. Island Ford Baptist Church is going to get back to being a praying people in a church where we pray. And when we come to God's house, there'll be some shaking going on. Amen. You'll start hearing a sound from heaven when the man of God has preached the word of God. But God's people, listen, going to have to get back to this place of prayer. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed, friend. You say, I'm just an old sinful man. That's exactly what Elijah was. He had the same passions that you had, the same passions that I had. But oh, here's a man that in the same chapter could pray down the fire and pray up a storm at the same time. Amen. Church is going to have to pray down the fire. We have so mechanicalized everything. And the one thing that's needful, we've neglected. And it's telling on us. A preacher that's not a praying preacher, it'll tell on him. When he gets in the pulpit, there's no power. And a preacher that's a praying preacher, it'll tell on him too. He doesn't have to broadcast it, but it'll tell on him. We as a church have got to get back to Bethel, building those altars, getting serious with God. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord there on the mount. And when he came down and stood before the congregation, the Bible said his face glowed that they had to put a veil on it. And we say, oh, I'd like to have that heavenly glow that Moses had, but we want it after 40 minutes. Took Moses 40 days and 40 nights. You ain't going to get it in 40 minutes, friend. You won't get it in 40 minutes. We're spending more time on Facebook than we are face-to-face with God. I'll say this tonight. Facebook is in the Bible. You'll find it in Acts 17. The Bible said Paul was there in Athens and he marveled. The Bible said they spent their time in nothing else but to hear and tell some new thing. Every time I read that, I said, boy, he must have had Facebook back then. Spending their time and got to hear and tell some new thing. Got to run to Facebook and find out what's new, what's so-and-so. Well, Moses had a Facebook account. The Bible said he talked with God face to face. As a man talketh with his friend.
That's right.
Amen. Moses, I got a Facebook account and it's only got one friend on there. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, it's God.
Amen.
That's the Facebook account we need tonight.
Right.
Amen. It's amazing how people are spending hours and hours of wasted time on Facebook and internet and television and things like that.
Yes, sir.
And yet we're not spending time face to face with God.
You're right.
The church has got to get back to prayer.
Amen.
Number four, we're going to have to get back now to unity. God said, Jacob, I want you to arise. I want you to go to Bethel. And then he reminded Jacob about something. He said, the place that you went to in the day that you fled from the face of who? Esau, your brother.
Yeah.
Now, church, I want you to listen to me. God, why'd you have to say that? God, why'd you have to bring up Esau and me getting back to Bethel? God, I could go back to Bethel, but this thing of Esau is a problem here.
Yeah.
And God said, it sure is a problem.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, God had things to be arranged before Jacob could get back to Bethel, Brother Williamson. He had to meet Esau face to face. He had to have a face. You see, he had done Esau wrong.
Right.
Been a long time ago. But I'm telling you, wrong's wrong, friend, no matter how many years have passed, until you make it right. Amen. You say, priest, that's been so long ago. Well, it's not been so long that it doesn't need to be made right. Amen.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And Jacob had stolen his brother's birthright, deceived his father, stolen his brother's birthright. And Esau had hatred in his heart because of what Jacob had done to him. And Jacob had to flee that night for his life because Esau hated him and would have killed him if he could.
Right. Yes.
20 years have gone by. But God said, Jacob, you go to Bethel, but there's something you got to take care of before you can get there. And you read this thing on his way back to Bethel. Here comes Esau with 400 men. And brother, it's not a greeting party either. Amen. He's got one thing on his mind. He's still full of hatred. He still despises Jacob. He still wants to cut his head off. But oh, my friend, and by the way, this thing of getting back to prayer, before Jacob got back to Bethel, he had an all-night prayer meeting with God as he met with before Jacob. He got alone and wrestled with God and said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's what I'm talking about tonight. We'll have to get back to those places where we are wrestling with God. It's not just our prayer list that we've said in the morning. It's not just our little prayer that we've said before we lay down to sleep at night. I'm talking about some men and women that are getting with God and wrestling with God and staying with God and saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, God. That's what we got to get back to. And then he was ready to meet Jacob. And it took some humbling himself. He divided the family up, children, servants, asses, camels, in groves. And as they went to meet Esau, you read it, the Bible said that Jacob fell down on his face and said, "Behold, thy servant, Jacob." And I believe that when Esau saw the humbling and saw the humility, he dropped the sword out of his hand and ran and fell on his brother's neck and wept and cried and said, "Jacob, my brother."
Amen. Bless your heart,
preacher. I want to tell you, God said that we should, you may have some Esau tonight, some brother, some sister. Things are not right. You've done them wrong, or maybe they did you wrong. Doesn't matter either way. You know what the biblical antidote is? If thy brother's trespassed against you, go.
That's right.
If you bring your gift to the altar, remember he's got aught because you've trespassed against him, you go to him. You say, "Preacher, if they just come to me." Oh no, God said doesn't matter which way it is, doesn't matter what side of the court the ball's in. If they've got aught against you, you've got aught against them, God said, you go to that brother, you go to that sister, and you seek to be reconciled. You say, "Preacher, well, I tell you this, really, they're the one that's in the wrong." It doesn't matter if you'll go humble yourself. There's no telling what God may do.
Amen.
And I believe tonight, that early church was a church of unity. They were in one heart, one mind, one accord. But the church today, we're so far away. Bible said they had all things in common. No man even considered the things that he had, which was his own. Brother, you talk about away from Bethel. We're so far away today. The lack of the unity and the one heart, one mind, and one accord. And I want to say something to the church tonight. There ain't but one way for this church to do that. And that's get right behind that man of God right there. And every one of you following him. And if you'll get behind God's man and with one heart, one mind, one accord, you follow him, the church will get together, friend. Hey, forget about that crowd that doesn't want to follow God's man. I'm not talking about that tonight. But I'm talking about God's people getting behind God's man and joining together in one heart, one mind, one accord. And it may be tonight that there's somebody here. You'll not get back to Bethel. And it may be with God's man tonight that you've fallen out, friend. You're not going to get to Bethel until you get back to the unity and get your heart right with your brother. Number four and lastly, if we're going to get back to Bethel, we're going to have to get back to holiness. In verses 2-4, I want you to notice it with me. Then Jacob said unto his household, thank God for a man that can still say something to his house and tell him what to do. Amen. And all that were with him, notice what he said, put away the strange gods which are among you. Be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel. Verse number 4, the Bible said, they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which is by Shechem. God said, Jacob, go to Bethel. And Jacob knew enough about God that he knew, if I'm going to get back to Bethel, there's some things in our life that we're going to have to take care of. He understood that God was a holy God. And there's no way he could get back to Bethel without getting himself and his family back to this place of holiness. And I want to tell you, if the church is going to get back to Bethel, if you as a Christian are going to get back to Bethel, you're going to have to get back to holiness. God help us, have we not drifted so far away today in this area of holiness? You think about the early church in the book of Acts. You talk about the people that continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Some, the preaching of God's word. They said, amen, feed us, preacher. We just want to know what God said, and we want to know how God said live. We want to know what God said do. And when they heard it, they received the word with all readiness of mind and gladly hearkened to the preaching of God's word. The church was a holy people. They called them a sect. You know what they said, Brother Hall? They said this sect spoken. You know what that word was cult.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. If they ain't never accused Island Ford Baptist Church of being a cult, you probably are a long way from Bethel.
Yes, sir.
If they ain't never said about the folks down at your church where you go to, I tell you, that's a cult down there, you probably aren't at Bethel, friend. Because I'm telling you, in this day and in this hour that we're living in, if you live like this Bible said live, you're going to be considered a peculiar people, a strange people. I'm talking about even amongst most of the neighboring churches around in Baptist and even independent Baptist at that. God's people, He still said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, even so be ye holy, for it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God's people in the early church were a holy people. You didn't have no problem determining who was the Christian. And who was the pagans and the heathen in the world. But in the average church today, if you were to see them, and I hate to say it even inside the church walls, but definitely on the outside, in the homes, on the jobs, at the schools, whatever, you have a hard time, friend, picking out which ones are the Christians or professing Christians and which ones are not. We're so far away. The church has become so worldly today that it's hard to even distinguish a difference between those that profess Christ and those who do not profess Christ. And I'm telling you, friend, if we're going to get back to Bethel, we'll not get back there until we get back to holiness.
Amen.
Jacob told his family, he said, we're going to have to put away some strange gods.
Yep.
Boy, they'd let some idols, some strange gods. I wonder if there's some strange gods in your life that you've let come in. I want to tell you, if it comes before the house of God, friend, it is a strange God. I know I've said it already, but it doesn't matter if it's a job. It doesn't matter if it's a family reunion. It doesn't matter if it's a ball game. It doesn't matter if it's hunting or fishing or no matter what it is. If it comes before God's house and it comes before God's Word, it is a strange God. God help us, independent Baptist churches. Got our kids in the public school. Shouldn't be there in the first place. But on Wednesday night, they can't get them in the house of God because they've got to go to a ball game somewhere. Put away those gods!
Amen.
We're going to have to put away the strange gods. He's going to have to become first again.
Amen.
I want you to notice also, he said, you're going to have to change some garments too.
Yep.
Evidently, they had was wearing some clothes they didn't supposed to be wearing.
Right.
I mean, why did he say change your garments? He said, we're going to have to change some things about the way we're dressing if we're going to get back to Bethel. God knows. You think about where the church is today. There'll be some garments that are going to have to be changed.
Amen.
Ladies, and I don't say this being mean. I know your pastor's up to him to teach you this, and I know he does and preaches it. But there's some women here tonight. You're not going to get back to Bethel if you don't change some things about even the way you dress. And bring your heart into submission to the Word of God.
Yes.
It is still an abomination for a woman to wear that pertains to a man. And I'll tell you something, doesn't matter where you go, how you get away from it, facts are stubborn things. You can't change them, friend. And it's not a matter of opinion. I don't have to take you less than 100 years ago that everybody in this country knew that pants were a man's garments. Women did not wear them. You say things have changed, but God hadn't. Amen. I'll tell you, 70 years ago, if it was an abomination for a woman to put on a pair of pants then because they pertain to men, God didn't change His mind and say, well, the world's accepted, so I'm just going to accept it. It's all right now. No, if it was an abomination then, it is still an abomination to God right now today. I'm telling you, friend, we can say what we want about the sodomites and the same-sex marriage, but I preached a message here a little while back about same-sex, and we're at same-sex marriage today because we changed the same-sex clothing years ago in the church.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And And ma'am, whether you realize it or not, you are responsible for this same-sex marriage when you started wearing same-sex apparel.
Yeah.
Oh, you used to wouldn't wear them, would you? But you're so far away from Bethel now. And I got news for you, you ain't getting back until you get back to some holiness in your life. I appreciate what the pastor said about the miniskirts. God help us, it's coming in everywhere you turn. I call them knee dresses, miniskirts. I tell you, if Jesus was clothed in a garment down to the foot, I thought he's supposed to be our example. Amen. That means he wasn't standing there in a pair of shorts. I don't believe he'd have me in them either. God's people are supposed to be a holy people. Whether it's low-cut blouses, mini skirts, short skirts. I'll ask something, man. Why do you want to wear the short skirts anyway? It ain't be a testimony for Jesus, I promise you that. It's to catch somebody's eye that you don't have any business catching. God's people are going to have to get back to holiness. We're living in a day when it's hard to find a preacher's wife's got hair long enough to bounce off her shoulders. And you know I'm telling it right. This Bible still says that it's a woman has long hair, it's a glory unto her. You can't read the Bible without realizing that God's will is for a woman to have long hair and men to have the short hair. And we're so far. Hey, listen, there was a time in the church all the women had long hair, but nowadays you go around. I'm talking about in good churches, sound churches, sound doctrinal churches. And I look around, I said, where's the glory? I tell you, it's down at the barbershop for most of the women. There's going to be some women here tonight. You won't get back to Bethel until you get back to some holiness. You'll have to let your hair grow out or you'll get back to where God wants you to be. I'm not saying it'll take, you know, you got to wait 6 months till it gets that long, but God will see your heart tonight, amen. God will see your heart tonight as you rise and make that move. On and on we could go. I said it earlier, made mention, television hadn't had revival, and neither will you until you deal with setting evil before your eyes. Hollywood is so filled with filth and ungodliness. Hollywood is still, listen, adultery and cursing and fornicating and violence and murder and wickedness. We've filled our minds and we've filled our young people's minds with all of this violence and all of this filth and all of this ungodliness. And we wonder, where in the world is it coming from? Why we have all these shootings and killings and all of this stuff going on? My friend, when you put all of that in front of their mind over and over thousands and thousands of times, it's no wonder we're where we're at today. They're just acting out what they saw, and it's all just a fantasy to them still. There'll be some women that's going to have to get back to being keepers at home. Still in the Bible. Most preachers won't preach again it because they'll cut their tithes about in half. But God's people still have got to get back to obeying God's word. Being keepers at home. God in that house, God in those children. I'm going to tell you something. It never was God's will for grandma to raise your children.
Amen.
Never was God's will for the babysitter, the daycare center, or even the public school or the Christian school to raise them. It's God's will for a mama to be there and raising those children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey, are you listening? The rock music's going to have to go. The country music's going to have to go. This contemporary stuff's going to have to go. I said it on the radio this afternoon. Thank God for a radio station where they've got good sound gospel singing. Most of the stuff that you hear across the nation in radio stations today, this contemporary Christian rock, this contemporary Christian music of today, it'll have to go, friend. I'm going to tell you, if you got to sit there and listen close to the words and try and figure out what they're saying to decide if it's Christian or not, I can tell you already you're wasting your time. I can sell it for you. It ain't Christian. Amen.
Amen.
Well, do we want to get back to Bethel tonight? You say, preacher, you sound like you're just about against everything. I'm not really. I'm just against what is going to keep us from getting to Bethel. And there's nothing I haven't preached on tonight that will not keep you as an individual and this church from getting back to Bethel.
Amen.
Do we want to get back there? God said, Jacob, arise. Go back to Bethel. I wonder tonight if there's somebody here that'll say as an individual, God, I am away from Bethel. I know I'm away, but I want to get back there tonight. And I'm going to arise. I want the piano player to come. And it'll be more than just a trip to this altar, friend.
Right.
It'll be getting back to these things that we've looked at tonight that Jacob had to get back to. But God, I want to get back to Bethel. God, I want our church to get back to Bethel. And God, I'm going to rise and I'm going to come tonight. I wonder here tonight, I say it again, you may be here and you're lost. Some things I've said tonight, you have no idea why I've said them. Makes no sense to you. Listen, if you're lost, we don't expect it to make sense to you. You're going to have to make your first trip to Bethel tonight. Hey, listen, I feel impressed strongly to say this. You're riding on the coattail of Abraham. You're riding on Isaac's coattail. You've never met God personally yourself tonight. If God would speak, arise, you, go to Bethel.
Yeah,
you need to meet Him for the first time tonight. And I'll be honest, when you meet Him for the first time, a lot of these things I've said will make a whole lot more sense to you. Let's all stand tonight. As we give the invitation, Pastor's going to come in just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we pray now tonight that there would be those in this service this evening, and those by way of radio, that would hear the voice of God saying, arise, go up to Bethel. God, some here tonight, been a long time, but oh God, how we need to get back to Bethel. How the church needs to get back to Bethel. And I pray, God, for that one that's never been there before, doesn't know God at all, never met the Lord, that You may speak to them tonight and say, arise, go up to Bethel, meet God tonight and be saved. In Jesus' name. Pastor, we're going to turn it over to you as the preacher comes tonight and we give the invitation. You listen as God would speak to you tonight. Will there be those that would step out? You'd rise up from where you are and say, God, I'm going back to Bethel. Preacher, you come.